from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 28th day of August, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And then later on in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, USDA projects net farm income will be off by 38% this year, with corn leading the financial way down. And the CME Group has a new concept for convergence in the wheat market. Dave Dickey will be along with these and other stories shortly. And then, as we close out this half-hour-long program, Steve Hilberg of NOAA's Midwestern Regional Climate Center will be here to help explore the cold temperatures that may blanket the Midwest in the coming days. Hey, the Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat at $4.67, 8 cents lower today. December at $4.95 and a quarter, down 7 3/4. And the March contract at $5.14 3/4, down 7 3/4. September corn futures $3.21, 2 cents lower. December at $3.29, down a quarter. The March at $3.42 3/4, a quarter lower. The May contract at $3.51 1/2, down 3/4 of a cent. July unchanged at $3.60. September soybean futures $11.35 3/4, up 21 1/2. November at $10.11, 15 cents higher. January at $10.11 3/4, up 14 1/4. And the March contract $10.07 1/4, 13 3/4 higher. The May futures at $9.99 1/4, up 14 cents. September soybean meal futures today at $387, $8 higher. October up $11.50 at $320. And the September soybean oil at $36.07, down 14 cents. October at $36.27, down 14 as well. August live cattle futures $84.65, 52 1/2 lower. October at $86.70 from the livestock, down 87 1/2 in the live cattle. Feeder cattle at September futures at $98.15, down 67 1/2 cents. The October there at $98.05, down 92 1/2 cents. October lean hog futures $48.07 1/2, up 17 1/2. December at $46.45, up 25 cents on the afternoon for a Friday. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures have settled. That price in the nearby October contract at $72.74 a barrel, down 25, or rather up 25 cents. November, 32 cents higher at $73.46. September ethanol at $1.61 2/10. That's 1 1/2 cents lower. The natural gas, 16 cents lower at $3.04 7/10. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.07 even. Is just about 3 8/10 higher on the afternoon. Heating oil futures $1.86 3/10, 3 10 of a cent higher, and the propane at 94 1/2 cents, up 9 10 of a cent. Gold futures at $957 today, settled at $11.50 higher. The Dow now stands at 9,537, just about 43 points lower on the afternoon. And the CRB index today at 257.78. Last traded 1.26 higher for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, he says tonight in Illinois, skies should be mostly cloudy, some scattered showers early, and then it'll just become partly cloudy. And then in Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, most numerous before midnight. Lows will range from 49 in the far northern parts of Illinois to 64 in the far southern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, says Ed, a mix of clouds, sunshine, cooler, scattered showers popping up, primarily during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow will range from 65 in the far north to 82 in the far south. The extended forecast, unseasonably cool air, will cover the Midwest this weekend into early next week. Illinois and Indiana on Sunday, with high temperatures, will only be in the 60s in the northern and central sections and lows in the mid-70s in the south. Highs Monday and Tuesday mostly in the 70s. Lows on Sunday and Monday mornings will primarily be in the 40s.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. We always talk with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I heard you discussing this morning with my compadre, Dave Dickey, the soybeans and the fact that they had moved higher and into some positive territory. Did they manage to make gains that would be technically worthwhile today?
Yeah, they did, Todd. I think that it was a real nice comeback late in the trading day, and even though the September meal looked a little bit weaker as we closed out the trading session, when I talked to Chicago, it sounded like that maybe the September meal was losing to the October, with the thought that the rumor mill in Chicago at least thinks maybe that the October meal being about $60 cheaper than the September meal, the October meal is the next in line to move up and take kind of the mantle from the September and keep charging higher, especially as we see harvest delays or harvest problems in the Delta. And also as we see this cool weather move through and try and get an idea what kind of weather pattern we're going to be having here for the next 30 days. So for the most part, with the reversal back up and the return to getting November beans well above $10 and the fact that September beans held on to their support so nicely, I think today was a very good close. I think one thing that has to be watched very closely other than weather is that the trade has kind of built themselves into a corner. They expect next to no delivery Sunday night for either set meal and set beans. And so if the Mercantile Exchange comes out with any kind of sizable deliveries of either, I think that would be very, very negative to the trade psychology. So that's something along with the weather that really has to be monitored.
Can you talk about the relationship between the products and soybeans, in particular in meal, and how it plays out and when it leads, when it doesn't lead? It's been leading. It's been pushing the market pretty sharply. So what are the reasons behind that, and what do you look for if and when a break should come?
Well, I think the initial issue with the products has been that in the meal especially, the trade was thinking that livestock numbers would start to be going down by this point in time and that we would have dodged a bullet, so to speak, in terms of meal demand. And what has happened instead is weights have been added in both cattle and especially hogs, and poultry numbers, although they're declining, they've kind of leveled off at this point. And I think that really caught the market by surprise, and that's why this delivery process is so important on Sunday night, because the delivery process would indicate, and the expectations by Chicago would indicate, there's no meal, physical meal, cash meal out there in the country. When you see beans $2.25 over in Iowa, you see meal, spot cash meal prices $100 a ton over, almost $500 a ton in Iowa right now. It's saying big time that there's no meal out there, and so if the Mercantile Exchange throws deliveries out, that means that people have meal in the country, and that would be negative. But what really has developed here is an excessively big demand base that has not really gone down the last few months, and you couple that with the early supplies not coming off like we needed. You couple that also with the continued very strong demand from China. Because why? Well, South America doesn't have very many exportable supplies either. So it's kind of a perfect storm, and it reminds me a lot like 2003. In the end of August in 2003, we were trading relatively low meal prices, but by the time we got to October, we were trading $7,500 a ton higher than that, and then the market kind of calmed down and went sharply higher again early in 2004. And it seems to me that as long as the delivery stayed low, and the September report by USDA doesn't put any more supplies on the table, we could have in place here something very, very similar to the August meal pattern that we had at the end of August in 2003.
Well, how might farmers be able to take advantage of this, I suppose? I doubt that they have any or very few bushels of soybean left. When should they pull the trigger if they do? And then on new crop, will it have much of an impact because it is a short-term, at least part of it is a short-term supply problem, if I understand what you've told me correctly?
It is, yeah. It's a short-term supply problem, but I think it's also an issue where that short-term supply problem could could very well continue on if we don't get harvested or if the weather does turn extraordinarily cool, because then the trade will start to price in a smaller crop, and then all of a sudden we're going to start talking about in Chicago a sub-3 billion bushel production for beans. So my recommendation has been, you know, we talked about it last Friday and how this was going to be a big, big weather week, and it's still a big, big weather week here this Friday, and my recommendation continues to be to get some November bean calls bought for hedgers in both 09 sales and if they want to replace some 08 sales, with the idea that this thing's got to be moving here in the next 2 weeks. And if we don't have a 1045 plus price in 10 trading days, those calls are not going to do any good for me, and I want to recommend getting back out of them. I think the other thing that really has to be watched here is that if we have, keep in mind, back in 3 months ago, we had the Western Corn Belt hog producers liquidating aggressively because of Mexico and the swine flu, and the Mexican demand just went to zero practically for several months. And so we had a big phase of liquidation there. Well, all of a sudden, we have the Western Corn Belt that's got the highest meal prices in the country right now. Are we setting ourselves up, if we stay cool, if the October meal does take over and take place of what the September did, are we setting ourselves up for another round of liquidation? And I can tell you, based upon some conversations I've had with Illinois, Indiana, and Missouri hog producers this week, there's a lot of guys on the fence that come the end of September, when their financing runs out, they will have to make a tough decision. If they're dealing with $500 a ton meal out in Iowa, I think you'll see another round of liquidation. So I think it's real paramount that if the weather and the prices tell us we're going higher in meal and beans, hog hedgers need to get a put underneath them for the October marketings especially.
Oh, and I have one more question, and then we'll have to let you go. On the liquidation side, what we've seen in the U.S. and not in Canada, but in U.S. is the liquidation of sows, not
yes.
of whole herds and getting
right.
out of the business. But I suspect this time around you're talking about getting out.
Two of the five people I talked to this week said exactly that they would shut it all the way down because they just aren't going to dig themselves into a hole anymore.
All right. Well, on that note, I guess we'll leave you. Any final word? Maybe you could talk about the corn for 30 seconds if you want, or take up the wheat.
Corn gave up with the wheat, and I think the wheat in the delivery process is what really turned the tide and made the wheat a very disappointing market this week. We had a lower close after the wheat was the leader to the upside, and I think the heavy deliveries, some guys are putting deliveries at 2,000 to 3,000 contracts. That and the convergence issue that the CFTC is watching, I think made people throw in the towel on Thursday and Friday. Corn felt that pressure. I think probably the biggest thing for next week when it comes to outside markets that I wanted to talk about was the October crude oil, 50-day moving average of 69.45. If we close below that, Todd, we've got quite a bit of downside underneath us.
Thanks bunch.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics out of Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon. If you'd like to hear him again, you can do that anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post our daily ag programming, and you can sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Just look to the right-hand side of the page and hit subscribe. If you don't like it, hit unsubscribe. It's all that easy, and it's all that free at willag.org. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with the Ag News.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
In agricultural news, USDA said Thursday it expects net farm income to plunge 38% this year to $54 billion from last year's estimated net farm income of $87.2 billion. The drop comes amid a global recession that has suffocated demand for many U.S. commodities. The USDA said cash receipts for most crops are expected to drop by $40.3 billion, led by a 19.6 cut in corn. One positive in the farming sector is that expenses are forecast to decline from a record high posted last year, making the first time costs have dropped since 2002. Overall, expenses are expected to edge lower by $9.2 billion, or 3.2% in 2009, to $280.8 billion. the second highest level ever. The government also said direct government payments are expected to total $12.6 billion in 2009, a slight increase from the $12.2 billion in 2008. CME Group revealed the details of its concept for a variable storage rate Thursday in Chicago Board of Trade wheat futures and asked whether the move would help fix the struggling contract. Under the concept, the storage rate for wheat could be expanded or contracted from month to month based on the carry implied by futures market spreads. Carry is the cost of taking delivery of the grain and includes storage, insurance, and interest. The formula for determining full carry, which would be used to trigger rate adjustments, incorporates the one-month LIBOR rate, current daily storage charge, and settlement price for the nearby contract. Purdue agricultural economists expect that 2010 food prices will increase between 2.5% and 3.5%, well under the record 5.5% that was set in 2008. The 10-year average for food price inflation from 1997 to 2006 is about 2.5%. Food purchased away from home, such as in restaurants, increased 3.2% this past July from the same month last year. And the International Grains Council yesterday pegged world 2009-2010 wheat production at 662 million metric tons, up 1.2% from its July estimate. IGC put this year's U.S. corn crop at 318 million tons, up from a previous forecast of 311 million and last year's 307 million. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week, inviting you to the Farm Progress Show on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Many of our analysts will be on site along with Dave Dickey with half-hour programs outside of the AgriGold tent each and every half hour of the day. Please be sure to stop by and see them. And stop by and listen to the Closing Mark Report live if you'd like on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, starting at 150 with the settlement prices and then at 206 again with the Closing Mark Report from the University of Illinois tent. It's all at the Farm Progress Show next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Speaking of the University of Illinois, you know, it's released a brand new variety of apple. It's called the Wine Crisp, and it was 20 years in the making. It solves two great big apple problems. This is a new late-ripening apple named Wine Crisp. It carries the VF gene for scab resistance, and it was developed over the past 20-plus years through classical breeding techniques, not genetic engineering. Licenses to propagate trees will be made available to nurseries through the University of Illinois. Being resistant to apple scab is a great big plus for growers, says University of Illinois plant geneticist Skylar Corbin. He's very proud of the Wine Crisp.
It has resistance to apple scab, which means that you could grow this apple, just like Juliet, with significantly reduced amount of chemical sprays, fungicides. Scab is the number one disease that you have to spray for 15 to 20 times a season. And so you do not have to do that.
It means a substantial savings for the apple grower. And because the Wine Crisp ripens about 2 weeks later than the industry standard Red Delicious, it extends the growing season and can be harvested all the way through the end of October. Corbin says it's good in cold storage, too, and that's another big plus, and that it can be kept for 8 to 9 months there. His research has been done in collaboration with breeders at Rutgers and Purdue universities. He says the original cross was made way back in 1989, and that there are good reasons for it to take so long to bring a new apple variety to market.
It's because you want to test it in different locations. You want to observe it over a number of years. And then sometimes, of course, you're never sure. You know, for example, this one, I liked it the very first time, you know, I noticed it, and I noticed it over and over. But I was hesitant because of the fact that the finish is not this glossy finish.
The Wine Crisp has a flat rather than glossy finish to its deep red color. The original cross in the breeding process was done at Rutgers in 89. The seeds were grown into seedlings and inoculated with apple scab at Purdue, and those seedlings that demonstrated resistance to apple scab were split between the three universities as part of the Purdue-Rutgers-Illinois Cooperative Breeding Program. Because the University of Illinois made the Wine Crisp selection, U of I will be the primary licensing institution. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
I have one special note on this final Friday in the month of August. A longtime behind-the-scenes member of the Illinois Public Media Ag Department is retiring. We bid a fond adieu to Joan Harshbarger. I believe she may be the longest-serving member among the ranks of the Aggies here at our home radio station in Urbana. It was Joan that kept Charlie, Lindy, and I out of trouble and in great accommodations in the late 1980s and early 90s. And she booked our rooms, packed our stuff, and sent us merrily on our way. And when she was called on to go with us to keep track of a myriad of odds and ends, she smiled and packed her bags, too. As of late, she's been doing the same thing for Dave Dickey and me. We'll miss her at the Farm Progress Show next week and at the All-Day Ag Outlook in March. Those deep, dark brown eyes had that uncanny ability to trip a fire in a few of you old boy listeners out there. You know who you are. And when she asked for a financial contribution to support this ag service, well, the wallets came out. We'll miss her for those and so many other reasons that we cannot name. Joan has been a steady, guiding, and even motherly hand for me, and I thank her from the bottom of my heart for her public service and hope she knows how much they have meant to this workplace home that we call WILL Urbana.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural cash grain market. On the line with us, Bruce Bossard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Been a bit since we've talked. How are things progressing there in your area?
Progressing well, maybe a little bit slowly. I'm in the strange position of if you gave me 30 days of hot, dry weather, I'd be happy right now.
I bet. Hey, tell me about the bean market. Are you seeing a push for beans in old crop?
Old crop beans are interesting. You get to a tight carryout situation like this, and you see some wild markets. We're up like 44 cents on nearby bases from where we were last Friday. You get into that market, processors, and in some cases even export market wants to buy beans, but they sure don't want to buy any beans that they don't need. The last thing you need to do is carry a bean that you're not going to crush over at a $1 or $2 premium to a new crop, but you need enough to get there. Sounds like meal basis has been on fire with some big end users being short and trying to get covered.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at 319 on nearby corn, beans 1141 on the nearby, 992 on the new crop.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Steve Hilberg about the weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Seven sites around the country, including the University of Illinois, will share more than $8 million coming from the U.S. Department of Energy to further the use of carbon sequestration. The U of I Urbana campus's portion of the economic stimulus money is just short of $1 million. Those funds will set up a training center aimed at not only students, but faculty, as well as groundwater professionals, geologists, and engineers. Sally Greenberg with Illinois State's Geological Survey says the program has been funded for 3 years, but it's expected to support itself after that. The center will advocate for further use of the practice of carbon sequestration used by companies like Archer Daniels Midland. It's also the basis for the FutureGen project planned for Mattoon. A troubled developmental facility in suburban Chicago is being shut down by Governor Pat Quinn. Howe Developmental Center lost its certification along with millions in federal Medicaid dollars with it 2 years ago due to complaints about patient neglect. The governor had put off his decision about Howe several times, and some of those with relatives at the home are disappointed with today's move, saying the facility is not the bad place officials are making it out to be. But the governor's decision means the remaining 251 residents will have to be moved to other facilities by April. The governor says he'll work to ensure a smooth transition. It's back to school time, which means flu season is right around the corner. State health offices are offering advice to colleges about preventing swine flu and seasonal flu. Illinois Public Health Director Damon Arnold says colleges should encourage students, faculty, and staff to get seasonal flu shots when the vaccine is available. Colleges also should be ready to separate sick people from those who are well. Students sick with the flu should stay in their residences until at least 24 hours after their fever drops below 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Indiana will use $132 million in federal stimulus money to help more than 30,000 low-income households weatherize their homes and obtain more efficient appliances. The state's Housing and Community Development Authority says households will receive up to $5,000 each for programmable thermostats, insulation, and new appliances such as furnaces and water heaters. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg. He's at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois and located at the Illinois State Water Survey. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start not with the cold weather right here, but let's begin with Farm Progress Show weather for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Many in the area will be headed to Decatur. Can they expect nice days?
It looks like we're going to have a great week ahead, allowing those areas that got dumped with rain last night to dry out. Looks like we're going to have high pressure over the Midwest most of next week, and it looks like this could be a very good year for the Farm Progress Show.
Excellent. It would be great to be out there when it's not too hot and not too cold. Speaking of which, kind of cool here in the nearby, I think. Tell me about the temperatures and who's going to be the coldest.
Well, the coldest areas will obviously, or maybe not so obviously, be up north, and we will be seeing the coolest temperatures in the northern Midwest, but we're going to be well below normal here for the early part of next week, and gradually getting there this weekend as this cold air comes in. And we could see some pretty chilly temperatures up in the upper Midwest, probably into the mid and upper 30s at least. We saw some of those last week, but they were lasted a morning or so. This might be a little bit more hang around for a day or two longer. Down here, we'll see temperatures here across the central Midwest, generally in the 50s, maybe in the upper 40s at night, and then in the 70s during the day in general. So still running quite a bit behind what we should be this time of year in terms of high temperatures, which is usually at about the low 80s.
So we'll be down 12, 14 degrees on the upper end, and then you heard, I think, in our weekend program, you talked just a bit about growing degree days,
right,
and that we were running behind, but you adjusted that some. How far behind are we?
We are roughly, it's quite a range across if you go from, let's say, the Ohio River up to all into Wisconsin and Iowa. We're close to normal just south of the Ohio River, western Kentucky, far southern Illinois. We're probably within 50 or so of normal, but you get up into northwestern Illinois and modified growing degree days. Now, these are since May 1st, which is pretty close to planting date for most everywhere on the average. In northwestern Illinois, they're as much as 300 or more behind what they should be at this point in the season. Well, the problem is it's not likely, even with warm weather, that we'd catch up very much on those totals, except maybe in the south. So I think those deficits in terms of growing degree days will probably be with us till the end of the growing season, barring some unusual 30 days of hot weather.
Yeah, how many degree days would we normally add on a typical September day?
In a typical September day?
Right.
Oh, we'd probably be adding around 10 or so on the average.
So
from early September to late.
Yeah, so
it gets less later in the season, obviously.
We'd have to have all of September to catch up.
Yeah.
Well, not to catch up. That would just be break
just,
even.
Just be holding it. That's why I think it's really, really hard to catch up. And on these, we cap out the upper end at 86, so even real hot weather doesn't make a big difference.
All right. Well, thanks much.
All right, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. It belongs to NOAA next week. Don't forget to come out and see Dave Dickey and I at the Farm Progress Show. for most of the days. Dave will be at the Illinois Public Media Tent next to AgriGold, along with our analyst. I'll be in the University of Illinois tent, of course, and we'll bring this program, the Closing Market to Report, to you live from the Farm Progress Show on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Have a good day.